Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less crypto and DeFi update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, October 14th, 2020.
Bitcoin is holding stable at 11,381, just about flat from yesterday. And Ethereum is also down a little bit to 378, down about 1%.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a DeFi and digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, up first, Bitcoin decouples from legacy markets with breathtaking rally prediction from Kraken. They've identified a decrease in correlation between Bitcoin and legacy markets.
Yeah, so the breathtaking, I think everyone in the crypto space believes in decorrelation, decoupling, and Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation. The news that came out this week that was relevant to that was, we all learned that essentially more money has been printed in the last few years than existed in the entirety of the history of the United States before that. So there's essentially the government's been going on a money printing spree, and depending on the way you look at the economics of that, it's not great. So that's the macroeconomic background. The micro piece around Bitcoin in particular and Ethereum is that, Kraken did an analysis and went back over the last 6 months and looked at correlation. We've talked about correlation before. It's graded on a scale from basically -1 to 1, where a perfect 1.0 is 100% correlation. Every time the price of McDonald's goes up, the price of French fries goes up. I don't know, whatever. And negative correlation is an inverse correlation. So every time the price of French fries goes up, the price of milkshakes goes down. I don't know why these are the examples, but they just are.
You just must be hungry.
Yeah, I guess so. So what's happened is that over the last 6 months, there has been a very, very stark decorrelation, where there was a negative correlation between Bitcoin and the S&P 500, the U.S. markets, that was anywhere between 0 and 0.5, depending, 0 and -0.5, depending on the day of the week and the month. But pretty much consistently negative for the past 4 or 5 months, 6 months. At the same time, there was a consistently positive correlation with the price of gold. Gold is, of course, the ultimate hedge that everyone consistently believes that gold is the ultimate hedge. Like, if the world completely fell apart and we were really living in a post-apocalyptic world, gold would still have value because it has material value. It has, all these great properties. Plus, it has actual value for making transistors and things like that. So, gold is sort of the high state. Is the ultimate pinnacle for, I don't know, maybe there's others, but it's one of the pinnacles for decorrelation with the stock market. And so when you see Bitcoin following that more, that is super exciting to all the crypto true believers out there. This is really exciting. We'll tweet out the link. Go give it a look. It's a great, great read.
All right. Up next, Stone Ridge reveals that they have $115 million invested in Bitcoin as part of a $1 billion spinoff.
Yeah, they kind of ended up getting into this, I think, a little bit. If you read the article, it's super interesting. They ended up getting into this a little bit by accident. Their fund managers were starting to buy crypto, and it put them in personally, not for their fund, but personally. When you have your fund managers doing something, it puts you into a conflicted state, or at least a compromised state as a hedge fund. So they obviously had to go and report that out to their investors as part of it. And then what happened was that their investors were like, oh, this is dope. We should get some crypto also. So then their investors were pushing them to actually set up crypto funds. And that led them to, they could have done kind of weird SPVs, and there's other vehicles for doing one-off funds. They decided to just turn this into a real fund after a while. So this is, you put this along with MicroStrategy. This is Stone Ridge. You have Square. I don't know. That's three major $50 million plus Bitcoin investments in the last few weeks from institutions. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's starting to be a trend. That's starting to be a trend line.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next, DeFi Pulse has unveiled a safety rating to allow users to compare risk. So DeFi partnering with Gauntlet to release this new tool to raise user awareness of risk of major DeFi projects.
Yeah, this is interesting. So DeFi Pulse has been doing a good job with partnerships. I mean, DeFi Pulse, I don't know if I'd say, you know, they have a pretty good amount of mind share. I'm not sure that they've really capitalized on Twitter as much. Like, people like Blue Kirby were definitely more followed than DeFi Pulse in some ways. But DeFi Pulse has done some cool little partnerships, and they have, you know, a partnership with Set to do index fund based on their scoring. And now this is with Gauntlet, where they're doing basically scoring of DeFi projects. Now, this, you know, PSA for everybody who's looking at this, I would argue that these scores are essentially meaningless. They are looking at the assets that are backing something, and they're looking at some of the tokenomics of the projects, but they're not actually doing smart contract validation. They're not doing smart contract auditing. They're not doing a lot of team investigation. So it's really more of an economic and risk analysis from an economic standpoint. But that's, you know, people have not, well, look, people can find a lot of different ways to lose or make money in crypto. The ones that are the most brutally stinging do not tend to be because of market forces. They tend to be like Eminence, where someone comes in and steals $8 million. Like, that's, you know, there have been enormous smart contract hacks over the years. And it, to me, I would say I would go so far as to say it is irresponsible to apply a risk rating to a DeFi project without looking at the smart contracts that back it or doing any technical analysis on it. I think it is deceptive, and I think it is misleading to people who would read that, because one of the biggest risks for smart contracts is the technical risk and the attack risk on it. So it's interesting. It's funny. You know, it's always good to see innovation in the space, but take it with a grain of salt.
All right. Good advice. Thanks, Pat. Okay, next. Ethereum Classic is using an idea Vitalik had back in 2014 to help fend off 51% attacks.
So Ethereum ETC has been just railed on recently, just been getting whooped up on by 51% attacks. The way the attack works is that essentially I will go to an exchange, deposit a bunch of money, sell it, deposit a bunch of Ethereum Classic, sell it, get Bitcoin for that, move the Bitcoin off. So I'm doing this, I'm essentially moving from Ethereum Classic to Bitcoin. In the background, I will be mining, I will pay for an enormous number of machines to be mining blocks. They're not mining all, they're not transmitting their blocks. They are mining their own separate blockchain. And at some point, I make the choice to essentially transmit the entire blockchain that I have mined and wipe out all of the transactions that I did. If you do this with enough, you can really make serious money on this, obviously. And the people that are essentially you're stealing from are the exchanges for the most part, and the counterparties, depending on how the exchanges unwind this, the counterparties at those exchanges. So the proposal they have is essentially does a time weighting where when you try to do a block reorg, since the days of Bitcoin, the blockchain that wins when you have issues like this, when you have two competing blockchains that are being published, the blockchain that wins is the blockchain that has the most work dedicated to it. That is a fundamental tenet of crypto, of the modern world around crypto. This messes with that, where it basically puts a modifier where if a particular side of the blockchain hasn't been seen before, based on the age, it is essentially detrimentally challenged. This is tremendous. You know, I think this is a really, really poor idea. Vitalik's a super smart dude, so there might be some stuff I'm not thinking about here. But essentially, this increases your resiliency to 51% attacks and dramatically increases your risk of government or large corporation style attacks. Because essentially, it means if you can bifurcate, you can seriously screw with a blockchain by bifurcating miners. And it means that you have a lot more state level attacks against it. So Ethereum Classic's kind of a small fish in a big pond. So maybe they don't really care about some of those decentralization type attacks. So I this is not the way I would approach it. There's a lot more clever ways of doing this. Dash has a good model for doing snapshotting if it's an issue, where they basically do guaranteed snapshotting on a cadence. I think there's a lot better ways than kind of the hack that they're proposing here. But go and read the article. It's pretty interesting.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right, have a good one.